Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, the sports gambling show that covers everything in the world of sports betting from A through Z. We'll cover the four major sports, as well as anything and everything in between worth some action, and we'll increase the size of your bankroll. And here we go.
Welcome to the Side Action Podcast, episode 30, the special NCAA Tournament Basketball Preview Edition. I'm Jim Weglars, a.k.a. Wegs. You can follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram.
And this is Steve Roberts, a.k.a. Action. You can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
You can follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter. So Action had a big weekend of the Big Ten Tournament, right?
Yeah, it was a great time. Had some family in town that stayed with me here at Casa Action. Right. And I know you joined us one day. We saw a lot of basketball the first 3 days. 10 games in 3 days was a lot, and too much for us, as well as our teams lost. So we ended up selling all of our tickets for Saturday and Sunday and just partied the rest of the weekend.
At the St. Patrick's Day festivities, huh?
Yeah. Thankfully, we did, because the Saturday games were kind of blah. I watched a little bit of them on TV, and they didn't really entertain me much at all. But the championship on Sunday was a great game. Michigan and Michigan State went down to the wire.
Yeah, Michigan was big in the first half, up by 8, I think, and then Michigan State roared back again despite that one injury. So it was definitely a great game. There were some really good games over the weekend. You know, we were at that bar at Emmett's listening to the bagpipes, and then trying to see the end of the Duke-North Carolina game amongst the bagpipers. That was exciting. Then there was some really good games, really, throughout the weekend. So the SEC had their big game. Tennessee and Kentucky went down to the wire as well. So it really delivered in terms of the conference tournaments.
Yeah, the biggest surprising outcome of the weekend for me was Tennessee just getting demolished by Auburn in that SEC championship on Sunday morning. That one caught me totally off guard, even though I did have that futures ticket on Auburn.
I think they left it all on the floor for Kentucky. It seemed like that game took a lot out of them and just didn't have the juice for Sunday. And Auburn shot the lights out. That's what they can do in this tournament, the SEC and probably in the NCAA. So we'll talk about that. So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see if Auburn has any left in the tank this
week. Yeah, I know. They probably should get all their shots out then. So before we jump into some more content for this week, let's talk about our live event. We have the live event on Thursday. That's Thursday the 21st. We'll be at the Four Shadows at 2758 North Ashland Avenue in Chicago. We'll be there bright and early at 10 a.m. We're going to be doing a live broadcast pregame. Rob, the owner there, is great with us, and he's going to put us through the loudspeaker, so we're really excited about that. We've talked that we'll do maybe a little spot between the games, kind of the dinner break around 5:30, to kind of recap some games and maybe look ahead for the evening. So we're really excited about this event at the Four Shadows.
Yeah, I can't wait. Rob has got us set up, not to be confused with Broccoli Bob. Correct. Two different people. So looking forward to it, and we can watch some games all day, hang out with some patrons and some listeners, and then just talk hoops with anyone that'll listen.
Absolutely. We'll be there all day and all night. It'll be a long day, but I love that first day of the tournament. It's just so exciting. Usually you'll get some upsets, or at least some close games and near upsets, and we'll talk about spots we like, but there's nothing quite like those first couple days of the tournament. I wish I could take both days off. I can't, but I'll be tracking at work on Friday.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Well, let's jump right in. We're going to talk on this format specifically about the NCAA tournament, but we'll touch briefly on the NIT and maybe some of the other tournaments out there. How do you want to do it, Action? You want to jump into the small tournaments first or do the NCAA first?
Yeah, let's touch on just a couple of nuggets I pulled out of the NIT specifically, and that surrounds the experimental rules that they're going to be running this year. For those of you who hadn't bet on the NIT or the CBA or the smaller tournaments in the past, there's some serious value that can be had because, as you probably know, Wegs, not too many squares or normal rubies to this sports gambling are going to be betting on these games. So the lines tend to be a little bit softer, and you can really pick out some good spots in them.
Well, I didn't know that. I mean, obviously, I know that not as many people watch the game, so that would make sense. There's not that many people paying attention, but there's still some really good teams in there. Obviously, NIT has the next cut, the group of people that were kind of the first out of the NCAA tournament. So you'll see some really good basketball teams. I often notice, I don't know, this is anecdotally, that a lot of those teams that just miss usually fall flat in the NIT too, because they're just kind of deflated. But, you know, who knows?
Yeah, and there are some experimental rules. Like I mentioned, the 3-point line is going to be extended by 1 foot 8 inches to the same distance that's used by FIBA for the international competition. So I don't expect that will have much of an impact, but as well, they're going to widen the free throw lane to 16 feet, which is consistent with what the NBA uses. And their two bigger ones that I think are going to impact scoring quite a bit is the shot clock will only reset to 20 seconds after an offensive rebound instead of the standard full 30. And then also they're going to be using these 10-minute periods instead of two halves. They're still going to play a full 20-minute segment, first half and second half, but the fouls are going to reset at the end of the 10 minutes in each of the two halves. And the one-and-one free throws will be completely eliminated. Teams will shoot free throws at the end of the fifth foul for each 10-minute segment, and then they'll reset once they hit to that
So, yeah,
10-01
it's more
mark.
like the NBA, but it's kind of like 10-minute quarters instead of 12.
Exactly. And the other thing, similar to the NBA, is for the second foul under 2 minutes in each half, they'll go straight to the double bonus and shoot two free throws, which will accelerate the end of game
That's
situation.
true, and it also increased scoring, so that's something to keep in mind for the totals for sure.
Yeah, and as you would imagine, a lot of these totals that opened up for tonight, Tuesday, as we're recording, and for Wednesday night, the totals have risen quite a bit. So I'll be keeping my eye on see how some of these games come out and looking at playing some overs most likely. One spot that jumps out at me for Wednesday night is Toledo versus Xavier. Both teams have been scoring the ball very well, and the total opened 139 and it's up to 142 and a half
That's a
already.
high total. All right, good to know. Any other tournaments you want to touch on, or just the NIT pretty much?
Yeah, just the NIT. There's definitely some spots I'll be looking for in the other tournaments as well, but nothing to report here at this moment.
So obviously, with the first four format, we're not going to talk about the games tonight. There's two games tonight that are underway that we won't see, that we won't talk about. But we'll look at tomorrow night, Wednesday night's first four of the two matchups. The first we have is NC Central against North Dakota State. This is a 16 seed against a 16 seed. You've got North Dakota State as 5.5 point favorites. Is that right?
Yep, they sure are.
One thing I would say about this game is NC Central's been there before. They've actually been to the dance. I think it's their third consecutive year.
That's right. And they played in this play-in game 3 years in a row
They
as well.
did. So they lost last year. I know that North Dakota State's known for their football program, but I guess you would say that North Dakota State, you think it's just a bigger league, and that's why they're getting favored maybe a little bit more. And they obviously made a good run at the end of the season there.
Yeah, North Dakota State is by far the better team in this matchup. I think North Carolina Central is down in the 300s of KenPom, so they're not a good basketball team, and I think they kind of lucked into this championship. One thing that I'll be looking for in these Dayton games is looking at unders because the short prep time that these teams only have a few days, and then they have travel to Dayton included, it gives the offenses a little bit of a difficult time trying to prepare. And just the high stakes nature just lends itself to lower scoring games.
Right, a lot more tense, a lot more clenching and missing of those easy baskets sometimes.
Yep.
The second game is St. John's versus Arizona State. Arizona State right now we list as a 1 point favorite. I got to be honest with you, and this kind of moves to talking about the snubs or whatever. St. John's, I'm kind of shocked they made the field. I know that they beat DePaul in the Big East tournament, which isn't saying a lot, but this team has played like garbage over the last 4 weeks at least of their regular season. So I'm not saying that they should have been replaced by anybody in particular because Clemson and North Carolina State, and I guess it was UNC Greensboro who was the next team. None of those teams to me like dazzle me, but it's just St. John's seems that like they're terrible. Arizona State, they did play pretty well in the Pac-12 tournament for the most part. But they're nothing, no great shakes either. So I can see why the line's basically an even line, minus one.
Yeah, it looks like Arizona State's out to 1.5 point favorite as of right now, and I think that's the right side. I rated these teams at Arizona State as a 4 point better, and I think the biggest advantage the Sun Devils will have is that they played in this game
They
last year.
did.
So they know exactly how to prepare for it, and they've been through this rodeo before, and I think that they're going to be the team that's better prepared to start the game out on Wednesday night. And like you said, St. John's kind of lucked into this tournament, and I do think the Sun Devils will pull this one out.
Okay, yeah, I like that side too, for sure. All right, let's look at the Thursday games, and we're obviously going to be, we'll talk about them a little bit again in the pregame on Thursday as well, but for those listeners that can't make it, they want to give you some information on these early games. So let's start off with the first one you've got listed, and that's what I'm calling the Battle for Patino's Pride. Minnesota versus Louisville. As you know, Patino's son is the coach of Minnesota, and Louisville obviously fired Patino. So you've got listed Louisville as 5-point favorites in this one.
Yep, and I'm pulling up the screen now. Looks like there's a 5 out there, a couple of 5.5s, so that's about right.
Impressions in this game? This is another one that's kind of interesting. I got to be honest with you, I'm a little bit biased now with seeing Amir Coffey in person. When we saw him on Thursday, he took over that game late, didn't play really well until the end of the game when he kind of dominated Penn State in the last 2 minutes of regulation and overtime. So that's kind of welded into my brain right now. Louisville, as we know, has trouble closing games, but they're better on paper. You know, KenPom puts them way up there. I mean, they're still in the top 20 in KenPom. They're 17th. But what are your impressions on this game?
Well, I don't really have much on the side. I think that Louisville is the better team, and I think, as you mentioned, they're rated better. I've got them about 5 points better, so I think this line is spot on. But the angle that I'm looking at for this game is playing the under, and more specifically, I'm going to look at the under in the first half. This is the first game of the day, 11:15 start time here in the Central Time Zone, and I think that, historically speaking, these early games have a really hard time getting going, scoring in the first half, and Louisville plays pretty good defense. They're 17th ranked in defensive efficiency, and Minnesota's not far behind at 44, and both teams enjoy a slower pace. So right now I'm looking at a first half total of 62 and playing under for that number.
Okay. I can see that. I mean, we've talked about it all year that the first half under is definitely the play in these tournaments. And like you said, I mean, this is the first game out of the gate, so sometimes these slow start really slowly. The next game you've got listed is one that I have a keen interest in. It's Yale versus LSU. LSU is right now an 8-point favorite. I got to be honest with you, Action. I already took the money line on this one. I'm just kind of I'm going for it right away. I'm not saying Yale is a better team. LSU is obviously a better team on paper. But when I saw a plus 265 money line for Yale, a team that can score the ball, they can shoot the ball from the outside, and I just don't know what's going on with LSU, if they're going to be focused like they were the first game post Will Wade suspension, or like they did in the SEC tournament where they just collapsed down the stretch. So I'm just kind of playing on that. I'm not sure if that's advisable, but I can see what you'd say.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you. I did not go the money line angle, but I did pick Yale and bet them ATS already. I think I took plus 7.5 points, so looks like it has ticked down a little bit, but I think that this Bulldogs team is going to hang in there. They have an NBA caliber talent in Maya Oney, the big guy inside, and I think that obviously he's not going to match up with Naz Reid, but he's going to hold his own in there, and their rebounding numbers are surprisingly really good. 18th ranked in defensive rebounding percentage, and they're going to need those boards if they're going to be able to hang with this LSU team.
That's right.
So.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Another interesting point in this game is the extremely high total. I think it's the highest total on the board for Thursday. Opened at 160.5, and the bettors have been going under. It looks like it's down to 157 across the board. So a move to the under in this one.
You think that that's the wise play?
I myself won't be getting under this game because I actually saw Yale and Harford play on Sunday, and I was amazed how quickly they ran, especially in the second half. They were just running and gunning, even with a 15-point lead. So I expect LSU will be happy to run with them, and this game could reach that number. It wouldn't shock me at all.
Yeah, I agree with you. I saw it lower than you said, too. I think I'm 157, like you said. But, yeah, it'll be interesting. What's exciting about it, like I said, watching these games in the first game, I'll be keenly dialed into that one. Hopefully we'll see an upset there. The next one is also kind of interest to me, New Mexico State versus Auburn. Auburn's a 7-point favorite right now. I got to be honest with you, Action. I already bet this one, too. New Mexico State's one of those teams for me. The Aggies have been to the dance. I think it's 3 straight years now. They have an experienced team. They're a unique team because they have 14 guys they play. It's kind of it's crazy. Their highest point scorer only scores 11.3 points a game because they just throw you guys in waves. And I'm kind of playing on that angle you mentioned about Auburn kind of, you know, shooting all their shots last weekend And yeah, I took New Mexico State plus 6.5 in this one.
Yep. Concurrence here. I think that this is a very big mismatch in terms of the spread. I think that you're getting some serious value betting against Auburn because of that recency bias. They were on national TV on Sunday morning and just blew the doors off of Tennessee. And I think that's the reason this number opened up at an inflated 8. And I'm looking at it now, and it looks like you got the best of the number. It's down to 5.5 across the board. There's one lone 6, but nice work. I actually took New Mexico State as well. They certainly have the horses to run with this Auburn team. And if you look at their numbers, the rebounding jumps off the page. I mean, 8th in the country in offensive rebounding percentage, and Auburn is 335 in the defensive
Whoa.
glass. That alone is a major advantage for this New Mexico State team, and I expect that they're going to beat Auburn outright, even though it might be a trendy pick. I think it's going to happen.
I agree. I think they're one of those teams that you always try to identify those double-digit seeds that can make it to Sweet 16. New Mexico State has the pedigree for it. Don't know if they'll do it, but I think that that's one that you can definitely ride for sure. Okay, next game is Vermont versus Florida State. Florida State, I have listed a 10.5 here, but I think that number may be going down. Florida State is one of those teams that they're a really good underdog team, not a great cover team. So I would imagine that number is going to be beat down as well. What do you think, Action?
Yep, you're right on that one again. I'm looking at nines here now, and I think that this Vermont team has been the side of the professional backers, at least earlier in the week. As you mentioned, it opened at 11, and now it's ticked down to 9. I certainly don't see myself betting on Vermont in this spot, but I won't be looking to lay the points with Florida State either.
Exactly. I mean, Florida State is gonna win this game. I don't think Vermont's gonna take them down, but it's one of these things. They have so much talent on that team, and they're one of those teams too that they play 10 guys, like 5 guys off the bench. And Leonard Hamilton just has this crew of dudes that when they come in off the bench, you know that they're or off the bus, they're a basketball team. But Vermont has been there. They got knocked out by UMBC in the title game last year. I think they're out for blood. You know, it should be a heck of a game. So I think this will be one that we'll be watching intently on Thursday.
Yeah, the other thing important in this game is that it's being played in Hartford, Connecticut, which is right in Vermont's
Sure.
backyard, and I think the majority of the fans will be cheering for them and the trendy underdog on
That's
Thursday.
right. All right, the next one we got list is Bradley versus Michigan State. Vardy is a 19-point favorite, which makes sense. They just won the Big Ten tournament. Bradley coming out of the Missouri Valley. What do you see in this one, Action?
Obviously, Michigan State is by far the superior team in this game, but the spot just screams for Bradley because they played their championship last weekend and they've had a whole week and a half off to rest up and practice and get ready for this tournament. And contrast that with Michigan State, the way they went through the Big Ten tournament over the weekend. They are just banged up and bruised on all fronts. Nick Ward looked decent but out of shape over the weekend, coming back from the hand injury. And Kyle Ahrens with the nasty ankle injury on Sunday, who knows if he's even going to play this week? And add to that, Cassius Winston sounds like he's dealing with a little bit of a knee problem. So laying this big of a number in the first round with Michigan State is a very far ask for me. And I'm probably going to talk myself into Bradley, although the number has ticked down from 20 to 18.5, it looks like. So some of the value has been
Trending
zapped.
down. Just, you know, I think the Arns guy is out for the tournament. I think I heard that already. So it was a sprained ankle, but he's out for the tournament. So, okay, our next one on the board is Northeastern versus Kansas. Kansas is an 8.5-point favorite in this one. Kind of an interesting game. I got to be honest with you. I was looking, when I looked at the bracket, I haven't been really on board with Kansas being a 4 seed, and they've been there pretty much all year in all the bracketology. And that's what they came out as in this one. I was looking to fade Kansas going into the bracket, but I don't think I can do it against Northeastern. Maybe with this 8.5, that seems like a robust number, but I think it's down from that now.
It is. You're right about that.
So obviously the sharps have bet that down. You know, if it was 8.5, I can see it, but I think that Northeastern, as good as they've been, you know, they obviously kind of surprised in their conference tournament, but I don't know. I got a feeling that Bill Self is actually gonna really coach these guys. And Northeastern 79 in KenPom, they're good, but I just think Kansas is going to win this game, so I wouldn't go money line anyway.
Yeah, I'm actually going to go against you on this one. I think that Northeastern is going to win this game outright. I already took the points with them, but I'm probably going to be playing them on the money line as well. I'm looking at 250 in one of my outs here, plus 250, that is. And the big advantage that I think Northeastern's going to have in this game is their three-point shooting. Mm-hmm. They're 38.8% from the three-point line. That's good for 14th in the country. And they've been on a serious hot streak lately, going only losing two in their last 15-plus games. And Kansas has been fading. Mm-hmm. I think you and I have talked about it enough. They did show up a little bit in that Big 12 tournament, but were bounced in the championship. Mm-hmm. And I think this is a tough matchup for them, and I expect that Northeastern is going to win this game and take the points with them as well.
All right. If we were doing head-to-head, that would be a good head-to-head one. All right, this is one of the games of the day. At least I hope it's one of the games of the day. Murray State versus Marquette, pitting the two, basically two highest scorers in the tournament, from what I understand, in John Morant and Marcus Howard. Marquette has come out as a 4.5-point favorite. I'm not sure if that's what you see now, action, but, man, what do you see in this game? I got to be honest with you. I'm really excited to see this game.
Yeah, I'm going to probably stay away from this game when it comes to the spread and the side. It actually is down to 4 right now, and I think that's probably the right number. Mm-hmm. But I'm just excited to watch it, as you are. The committee did us all a favor by pitting John Morant versus Marcus Howard in this one, and it should be highly entertaining.
Yeah, I've got the total that down as 149. So this should be some points scored. Definitely something that I'm looking forward to. And I hope it delivers. It's one of those times. Sometimes the committee, they say that they don't do things on purpose, but I think they did in this one.
Yeah, I agree. That total does intrigue me a little bit, but I'm probably going to sit back and wait and see how the morning goes before I jump in on going over in this game. I forget to mention at the top of the show, last year in the first round, the unders in the first 36 games went 25-11.
Oof.
So something to keep in mind for some of these first round games. They might start out a little slow, and I am particularly going to be looking for some spots to go first half under in those early morning games, as I mentioned earlier.
That's the action tutorial, first half under. All right, the next game is also very intriguing, really like this game. Florida is playing Nevada. We've got Nevada as a 2.5-point favorite. And I don't know, buddy, I think I like Florida in this game straight up, because Florida has not played great all season, but they play great defense. They had a really good show in the SEC tournament. And to be honest with you, they typically advance in the tournament. This Florida team has gotten to the second game or even Sweet 16 in like basically two straight years. So
yeah,
as much as they've – sorry for the ambulances.
Uh-oh.
Cops are coming after.
There's an emergency in Edgewater.
The Edgewater studio's under siege. Anyway, but Florida, I just think they're kind of a dark horse. We talk about Nevada. They've been struggling a lot. And I don't know, what do you think about that action?
Yeah, no, I'm right with you. I picked Florida in my bracket, and I expect that they're going to come out and knock out the Wolfpack in this first game. Their defense is really, really good. 14th ranked in defensive efficiency, and very good from the three-point line as well, which is where Nevada gets some of their points. And the other big factor in this one is Jordan Caroline's injury. He didn't play over the weekend, and I'm not sure that he's going to suit up for this game. And if he misses, that will be a big, big edge for the Florida Gators.
Do you think that that's baked in the line already?
Yeah, that's a good point. It probably was, and it looks like it's been moving down already, down to 2 across the board, so that's likely true. But with or without Carolina, I still think that Florida can beat this team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Another game that's probably not quite as we're not looking at money line bet here, but Abilene Christian's the 2 seed against Kentucky. They're 22.5-point favorites are the Wildcats. You see anything in this one, action?
No, this is not a game that I want to be involved in. I don't know much about Abilene Christian, but I'm also not going to be looking to lay 22.5 points with anyone in this tournament. Right. So,
one thing I will say about Abilene Christian, I believe that they were a Division II program just like 2 or 3 years ago. So they've gone from Division II all the way to the NCAA tournament inside of 5 years. So that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, definitely. I think I did hear that as well. Very impressive.
All right, another game that we discussed before recording here is St. Mary's against Villanova. Villanova's showing as a 6-point favorite. I actually already bet this one. St. Mary's at 5.5 points, getting 5.5. What do you think about that action?
Yep, right there with you. I bet it as well. And I'm probably going to be looking for the money line in this one too with St. Mary's. I think I mentioned to you earlier, I have these two teams as rated exactly the same in my power rankings.
Right.
And I think this St. Mary's team really showed me something in that WCC final when they knocked off Gonzaga. They play some pretty solid defense, 55th in adjusted D. And I expect that they're going to knock out this Villanova team by guarding the three-point line as well, 45th in defensive three-point line percentage. And as we know, Villanova likes to shoot threes all day and all night. And I expect they're going to fall in love with them, and St. Mary's is going to go inside and just pound them out of the tournament.
I like that, too. I have picked them in my bracket as well, and I think that St. Mary's, like you said, showed us something against Gonzaga, but more importantly, the tempo they play with. They play kind of a slower tempo, deliberate style, making Villanova guard, and I think over the course of the game, that's going to wear them down.
Yep, before we move on, this is another game where I've already put in a first-half under bet.
Okay.
61 I've got here. Not sure if that number is still around, but I expect this game is going to be very low scoring as well. Probably will play the full game under as well.
Okay, good call. Let's see. I've got the next game as Montana versus Michigan. Well, we have listed 15.5. When I checked it yesterday, it was 16.5. So this one seems to be waffling up and down, so I'm not sure why the line movement. Do you have any idea about that action?
No, 15 now across the board. There is one lone 15.5 out there five times. But this is a rematch of a first-round game last year, and I think that is really the only angle that I would have here to see this Montana team has prepared for Michigan once already.
Right.
Although when you're talking about betting against John Beilein in a tournament setting, that's very hard to do. So I'm probably not going to be convinced to jump in on Montana in this one.
Yeah, I'd stay away too. I just would talked about how Michigan's an under team, so maybe look at the total perhaps, but I'm not going to do the side as well.
Yeah, the total's definitely intriguing. 130.5 right now. So I agree. I think there may be some value on the under in that one, considering how good Michigan's defense is.
Right. All right, another really intriguing matchup. Seton Hall versus Wofford. Wofford's a darling, tournament darling, and they've been my darling all year. Wofford's favored in this matchup by 3 points. Not saying I'm surprised, but at the same time, Seton Hall was riding a hot streak. They've got a great player on their team. I got to be honest with you, I got to stay away from this. I love the Terriers, but I'm kind of scared of this matchup. Seton Hall could jump up and get them.
Yeah, I agree. I did actually bet Wofford already in this one, and I think that the three-point shooting ultimately will win out in this one, but Miles Powell and his ability to score definitely scares me a little bit. But this Wofford team has been riding high all year. I actually have them as 7 points better in my rankings.
Oh, wow.
So that's one of the major reasons I jumped on them. They're number two in three-point shooting in the nation, and Seton Hall doesn't really defend the arc that well, and that was really the main reason that I took them in this spot.
Okay, makes sense. I also wrote down that the total is 142.5. I personally, at the moment, I haven't bet it, but I'm looking at the over in that one. I think these two teams can fill it up.
Yep, I agree. That's definitely the right side, and the Sharps agree too because it's 144 now.
Dang it! I'm taking it. All right, we've got two more games here. We've got Old Dominion versus Purdue. Purdue's a 12.5-point favorite, your Boilers. Any thoughts on that game action?
Well, this one surprised me a little bit because it opened up on Sunday night at 11.5, and my initial inclination was to back the Monarchs in this spot, largely due to their extremely, extremely slow pace. 325th in the nation in pace, and Purdue plays a pretty slow pace too, and as you and I have talked about a lot in the past, a slower pace makes these points a lot more valuable in any given outcome, and I'm surprised this number actually is moving in the opposite direction. Like you mentioned, Purdue's now a 12.5-point favorite, and it appears that some of the Sharps are getting behind Purdue, but I'm going to see how it settles in later this week. That may be a setup play for the Sharps to come back and hammer Old Dominion when the limits increase later this week.
One thing I'll note is Purdue is, you know, I look at basically road and neutral games. I mean, they're only 4-6 in their last 10 in covering against the spread on the road or neutral. And, you know, they obviously did not play well in that Big Ten tournament. So yeah, it's a stay away from me. But like you said, maybe the Sharps are setting us up to get El Dominion at a higher number.
Yeah, this is another game where I'm playing first half under.
Okay.
Also, I think I saw 59 at last check, and I think that Old Dominion's slow pace is really going to rule in this game and keep it well under that total.
Gotcha. Well, last game we'll go over is Baylor versus Syracuse. The Q's right now are 2.5 point favorites, and I got to be honest with you, I didn't bet on it yet, but I do like Syracuse quite a bit in this spot. I think Baylor's kind of happy to be there. They had a good season, but they're really not that talented of a squad. I think Scott Drew's a hell of a coach and got this team to play, but I think the Q's got this one.
Yep, I agree. Syracuse is the right side here. That zone is something that's impossible to prepare for, and Jim Boeheim always gets this team playing well in March, and I think it's really their defense that throws other offenses out of whack and just makes them so hard to play against. And only laying 2 points in this one, I'm going to be back in the Q's as well.
We're on the same side too often in this one.
I know, it's a little scary, isn't it?
Maybe all that losing that I did during the season will pay off to some wins this week. You want to talk any more concepts for the overall bracket here?
I've been through and put my bracket together, and I got to be honest with you, I'm having a hard time keeping any of the one seeds out of the final four.
I know.
I have talked all year about how I think Duke is going to lose early on in the bracket and not even reach the final four,
right.
But I don't really see a team up there that can beat them. Although I shall admit, UCF and VCU, either of which wins that game, is going to be a scary opponent for Duke with how well they play defense.
Mm-hmm.
So that may be one spot where I could drop them out, but I certainly am not going to put them in the Final Four. I just need to figure out who's going to beat them.
I gotcha. I haven't completely solidified my Final Four, but like you, I do like a lot of the number ones. I do like Kentucky, though, and it's so tough. I think North Carolina is such a good team, and I'll be rooting for them, but Kentucky just seems to be the right mix for a tournament. They got beat by Tennessee, but that's a team that really knew them well. They've got all that size, and they play really hard defense and everything. But I just think Virginia, it's one of those things. I just think it's their year. I think it's a bounce-back spot overall. They've got much better offense this year, so I like them in the South for sure. The one I'm really struggling with is the West. I mean, unlike you, I think Duke's going to come out of the East. I don't think Michigan State can do it. I don't think they have enough horses, but the West is kind of wide open. I mean, the Zags, as much as I like them as a squad, I mean, Florida State knocked them out last year. That could be a potential Sweet 16 matchup. I love Texas Tech out of there too. You've got Michigan, you know,
yep.
Beilein's a great coach, you know, so I just think that's a really difficult region to pick. And not to mention, I got another dark horse that I'm not saying they're going to get to the Final Four, but Buffalo's a hell of a team, and that's a team that could wrestle with Texas Tech, and they could make a run, at least into the, you know, Sweet 16 Elite Eight.
Yeah, that's one spot I'm definitely going to be looking to play over. I expect the total might be a little bit depressed just based on Texas Tech's defensive
mm-hmm.
history, but their offense has been playing a lot better lately, and going up against the hot three-point shooters of Buffalo, that one could go sky high.
Right. So right now, if I had to pick the Final Four, which – mind you, listeners, it's subject to change because I got till Thursday morning. At the moment, I have Duke, the Zags, Virginia, and Kentucky. And ironically, I do have the Zags beating Duke. So there's your guy knocking out Duke. And then I got Virginia getting to the title game. And at the moment, I have Virginia winning it all. I don't know if I can stick with that. But the other thing, I'm looking at contrarian picks to try to win a pool.
Yeah. Well, I'm also not solidified yet, so for those of you Wegs pool out listeners out there, don't try and steal my picks,
right.
But I'm with you. I've got Gonzaga, Kentucky, and Virginia in right now, and out in the East, I have Michigan State at the moment. So, and I have Gonzaga beating Virginia in the championship.
There you go. See, we're very similar. Look at that. We're way too close. We've been thinking too much alike, apparently, on this podcast to have differentiation, but we'll see. And it always works itself out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's make one more plug for this live event. And just to be clear, we will be there at 10 in the morning, and we will be recording and doing some live stuff at the bar. But we want you to come whenever you can. Come any part of the day. We'll kind of try to get back on around 5, kind of on the speakers. But we'll be there having fun the whole time. If you do make it out, we've already decided to give you a free side action coaster. So that'll reel you in.
All right. Free swag.
Free swag. And we know that Matt and Rob will have you hooked up at the bar. They're great guys, and they're going to have the place rocking. It'll be a really good time. So definitely join us. That's 2758 North Ashland Avenue at the Four Shadows this Thursday, the 21st at 10 a.m.
Yeah, can't wait for that event and can't wait for this tournament to get started and really jump in and make some money.
Absolutely. All right, listeners, we'll follow us. Follow me at Wegspool on Twitter and Instagram. Follow us at Side Action Pod on Twitter.
And you can follow me on Twitter at 31SRoberts.
All right, we'll see you guys out there on Thursday.
That's a wrap for this episode of the Side Action Podcast. We appreciate all of your listens, and thank you for joining us. We'll see you all again next week on Thursday for some more hot picks and side action. Side Action Podcast, its owners and associates take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of this podcast, and opinions between talk show hosts may conflict. Individuals following the advice given on the podcast accept their own risk of losses from wagers made, as the Side Action Podcast, its owners, hosts, associates, or guests will not guarantee any advice given. The opinions and advice given on the Side Action Podcast is for entertainment purposes only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Intro and outro and transition music credits. Song titles, Jerry 5 and District 4 by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.org. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution 3.0. creativecommons.org/licenses/by 3.0.